Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was really encouraged about the word about the coming kingdom in which we want to enter. The Bible is talking about it in such a complete way. And God wants us to reign with Him in this kingdom. And it's not something that is just mentioned in the end, and that it would suddenly surprise us, but it's actually something that we are preparing today. The coming kingdom means that this kingdom is already on earth today, and partly we already live in this kingdom, as God shows in His Word. Of course, the completion, the consummation will be when Jesus comes back, and you will see the kingdom of God in without blemish, perfectly. So in these conferences we see, also in this weekend we saw in Isaiah, that God wants to bring this kingdom. And we can read Isaiah chapter 26, verse 7 to 8. Isaiah chapter 26, 7 and 8. The way of the just is uprightness. O most upright, you weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgment, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. In the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. In these three sections of Isaiah, there were three pathways of judgment. The first section was Isaiah chapter 1 to 12, where God exposed the sick condition of His people. He revealed the sickness that we have today. If we look at ourselves, we would not say that, oh, we are in a good condition. But the Lord needs to treat us, deal with us, and we need to experience Him as our physician. God is not happy with that condition, but He is angry. He has a wrath against all His enemies. And that's why the second section, chapter 13 to 27, you see the judgment, where the wrath of God brought judgment against all His enemies, like Edom, Moab, Tyre, Babylon, and in the end, the whole world. God didn't spare anybody. So also with us, all these enemies that are still in us, all these nations, or all these nations of significance, like our flesh that attacks you, yourself that doesn't leave you alone, against all these enemies, God has a great wrath, and He wants us, He wants to judge these enemies. And that's why, yeah, we really need to deal with that problems in us. And now in the third section, you see the woes against the people of God. Like it was summarized yesterday, that nothing works without God. Maybe you can, on one side maybe you deal with the enemies that are trying to attack you, but on the other side, the thing is, where do you get your help from? Maybe we are going down to Egypt and not trusting in the living God who revealed us His plan. That's why He's warning us through the woes. And in all these three sections, God shows us the way of His judgments. And like this Isaiah 26 says, that the way of the just is a way of judgment. It doesn't work just with encouragement and good words. But if you want to reach the goal, if you really want to be transformed, then God wants, has to deal with all everything in us. And we need to experience this treatment today. Today we need that change, otherwise it will be quite, we'll face a difficult time. So now let's read Isaiah chapter 35. It's not just our burden to enter the kingdom, but it's God's burden.
Amen.
This, I really realized that this week. It's not just about that somehow we want to make it into the kingdom, to be with God, no matter, not knowing what we will face there. I just want to enter there. Doesn't matter how, I just want to be with God somehow. But then I miss the more important part, which is what God wants. Actually, I want to do according to God's will, entering into His kingdom, but God's will is to make us co-kings, to rule together with Him. It's not that He wants to give us a goal for our lives, but He has a goal for us, for His thing, to rule with Him. So now let's read Isaiah 35, starting from 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for them. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Amen. A holy way, highway of holiness. No unclean shall pass over it, but he shall be for them. What does it mean? He shall be for them. It shall be for them. It means that this path is not for the unclean, but it's for the pure, for the holy. And why this highway is named the highway of holiness? And in the midst of all this judgment, God shows there is a highway of holiness. Why that? Because all this discipline and all these judgments that we've experienced, they bring you to something. And what is our goal? Our goal is to come closer to God. And God is in His sanctuary. And He is in the Holy of Holiest. That's why this ways of judgment will lead us to that point where not only He is holy, but we are also holy. The way of judgment is unique. There's no other way to where you can, which you can choose. But without holiness, you cannot enter to God. I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. Which says, for indeed for a few days they chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Our earthly fathers have chastened us to a certain extent, but the Heavenly Father chastens us in a different, in a complete way. And this is for our profit. For what? That we may be partakers of His holiness. This is what He wants. He wants to have fellowship with us. And that's why we need to partake of His holiness. There is no other way. Another verse says that all the sons experience His chastening. You don't see any person in the Bible which didn't experience correction, discipline, or difficulties from the Lord. All of them had to enter or go through that. Although maybe we desire it differently, but there's no other way. A holy way, a is the way that leads through chastening, through discipline, to holiness. This principle you can see very early in the Bible already. In Leviticus chapter 11, God explains why we need the holiness. In Leviticus 11, verse 44, says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourself, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall therefore sanctify," says in German, "yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." So Leviticus is the book for the priests, and there God says, "You shall be holy." From the beginning already, God wanted that, wanted them to be holy. And this whole book of Leviticus mentions the word holiness so many times. God is holy, that's why they must be holy too. And in the whole scripture you see that God wants a people for himself. They should not run after other gods. And this hit me quite strong. Today, I'm the property of God. I don't belong to myself. I cannot just do what I want and think that my way would lead to God. And like telling myself, oh yeah, God looks at my heart and my heart wants to be with God. It's good to have a desire in your heart, you want to be with God, but then you have to also accept His way. And His way is to sanctify ourselves, that we may be holy, for He is holy. And another verse to that is in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Here you can see that this plan was taken already earlier, that we should be His property and that we should be holy. This plan He took already before the foundation of the world. That was even earlier than Leviticus. Ephesians 1 verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Before the foundation of the world, God already had this plan that we should be holy. So God had this plan for all of us. But in my concept, it's not very present in my mind that I should be holy. Many things I read in the Bible and accept it. But do I really have such a consciousness, such an attitude that I shall be holy because He has chosen me from before the foundation of the world? And I really have to repent and to turn back. Make a turn in my life that at all moments I have this before my eyes, to be holy. God knew that this would be a hard thing for us and a problem to us, because that's why God put this plate at the front forehead that says holy to the Lord. So that when you have this plate and you look into the mirror, you will see it all times, and it would be even better if you have like a projector that projects it always to your eyes or a mirror in front of your head. So how does it look like practically to walk in holiness, to live in holiness? So in the preparation we saw that holiness on one side is purity, and on the other side it's a sanctification itself. For the purification, you need the washing. At the beginning, through faith and baptism, you are washed from your sins. You lay aside the old man and put on the new one. That's the first washing that you experience. But this doesn't mean that from now on you can just live and walk as you want, and you are holy and you are with God. No, it's a highway of holiness. That means you need this purification again and again. Not in a way that Christ needs to die again for you and you need to repent, like your initial repentance again. But there are many things that that defile us before the Lord. Or that, for example, in our thoughts, we occupy ourselves with defiled things. The things that I read or listen or hear throughout the day, they occupy my mind. So when I want to approach God, I start to pray, but then my thoughts go to something which I've just heard before, or go to other things, other places, and they are being distracted. So if this is the holiness in front of me, and to the right and to the left, you have defiled, you have impure things. So you're just always distracted to these defiled things. That's why at the entrance to the tabernacle you have the laver. You have the laver, the living water to wash you. The living water of the Word that would wash us. So we really need this living water from the Word to wash us from all these the things of the day and all the things that defile you. This is the first step you need in order to enter the sanctuary. And then after purification, you need sanctification. What does it mean? To be holy, one of the first meaning is to be separated unto God. It means you are not longer for yourself or for other people or something worldly, but you are separated unto God. Just as the priests were, because we are priests today. So it's necessary to be separated from all the things that occupy you or from all the worldly things. So this is what God meant when he said to have a people, his own special people. So that we would not allow any other things to rule over us, be it your job or your studies or your family. Many things try to rule over you, try to be something superior to you. Where you think, oh yeah, I belong to this family. So if the family says something, I'm part of them, I'm like their property, I have to do it. But God says, no, you belong to me. You're my own special people, my property. So if I tell you something, you should do it. So this purification and this holiness to be constantly with the Lord is shown very clearly in Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah 33, verse 15 to 17. He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppression, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and who shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, his water will be sure. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will see the land that is very far off. Verse 15. describes this walking in holiness. I realize, like when I'm in a public transportation, in a train, for example, there are so many sources of defiled things. Things with my ears or my eyes, which defile me. Even if you're waiting on the platform, there are always these big screens or ads and things. So maybe in one second you have something interesting, like something of the nature, and then the next second, picture changes and shows something that defiles you. So I already practiced that, to stand there on the platform and close my eyes. But I realized when I look at all these things, maybe I can't, they go into my heart and make room in my heart. I tried to somehow deal with it, but then I tried to somehow deal with it, but I couldn't. So I said, Lord, you have told to close our eyes, so I just stayed on the platform and closed my eyes and waited, or in the train, to shut your ears, stop your ears from hearing. So I just put the earplugs in without any music, but just to have the earphones without music. So I had to really shut my eyes and close my ears and shut my eyes. So this is my desire, to be with the Lord at all times, constantly. No matter what I do, where I am, I want to be in the presence of God, to walk in His holiness. And this is what verse 16 says, He will dwell on high. This is what I want. I want to dwell on high. No matter where I am, I want to be where the Lord is. That He is my fortress, my defense. Bread will be given Him, His water will be sure. On this path I want to walk. But I'm constantly on the mountain. I need to get rid of this concept that if I have to work or I'm among people, then I'm in the valley. But to have fellowship with the saints or to read the Bible, this is means being on the mountain. No, I want to walk on high on the mountain at all times. So why this? I need to check what is the problem, that the things that I hear or see defile me. Because the Lord Jesus said that the things that come from outside are not the things that defile us, but what defiles us is what comes from inside, from our hearts. I also realize the same thing, that the things from outside that you see are not the bad things, but there's something still hidden in your heart that reacts when you see that. Be it fleshly thoughts or pride in your heart. These things, if you see something from outside, these things are reacting, are wakened up. But then we need really the judgment of God. Because this judgment brings you to experience the offerings. When something, you see something from this world, and in you there's something reacting, that shows that there's still a root of this thing in you. So that's why I want to experience the Lord's judgment whenever I realize that. Like when you see the thing, and something, you realize there's still a root of the thing and you're reacting, then you need to tell the Lord, Lord, I need your judgment and I want to experience you as a sin offering that deals with the root of this specific problem in my heart. Also verse 17 says, your eyes will see the King in His beauty. Yesterday we read in Psalms that our eyes should be looking unto the hands of the Lord at all times. Many times I didn't know what God wants. So I thought, okay, I could read the Bible now. On the right side, I have somebody I could preach to. On the left side, there's somebody I could preach to. There are many options. So should I choose something? Or I could pray for myself. So should I just choose something? Or what is His will? So if you're on this mountain, if you're always in this walking in holiness, close to Him, you will know what the Lord wants you to do. And that's what verse 17 says. Your eyes shall see the King. I want to see this King and see what He does, what He does. I want to see what He does in this moment. What is His will? It's not good just to hit the air, like, because I think, oh, this would be good to do, so I just do it. But I want to see what He is doing. And you will see the land up very far off. If we look on the King and what He is doing, if you are so close to Him and you learn to labor on the good land, then this land will be extended, will grow. Then God will show you even more and more, because He can entrust you more. And this really must be our desire. We should not stand still with what God has shown us once. He has shown us that, and I'll just continue doing it until I die. No, we want to see more, all the riches that He has in the good land, what He has still prepared for us. Through the sin offering, we saw on one side the negative side of judgment. We see what is our condition. And like in the offerings, you have the negative side, the trespass offering, the sin offering that leads to the peace, and on the positive side, the burnt meat offering and the meal offering that leads to peace offering. We have the same thing with the way of holiness. On one side, the sin offering brings you to the way of holiness. On the other side, also the burn of the meal offering brings you to this way of holiness. That's why let's read together Isaiah chapter 35, verse 3 and 4. Because if we only hear about judgment, it might be that we are easily discouraged. But we need to see also how we shall continue. It's not just to realize the negative thing and then maybe I'm discouraged, but on the other side, God also gives encouragement on a positive side. Isaiah 35, verse 3. Strengthen the weak hands, make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the lame shall leap like a deer. Oh, sorry, until only 4, 3 and 4. Actually, after judgment, if you realize how your condition is, you don't just see the problem, but you see a chance to gain the Lord, to go on His way and to do what He wants. Through the sin offering, one of these enemies has been defeated, and now you can gain something new of Christ. And Hebrews talks about the same thing. Hebrews chapter 12, I think. Hebrews 12, verse 11 to 12. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Amen. And make straight paths for your feet. And how do you do that? She asked. So how do you strengthen the feeble knees? How do you do that, practically? Somebody knows an answer? That's what we are going to talk about now. So if your hands are through discouragement or through something, if you realize your condition, oh, I'm so defiled or not, I failed here and there and this one I cannot achieve, it may happen that your hands hang down and your knees become feeble. Then we have to realize it's not yourself that can strengthen you again or that can make you straight again, that can lift you up. But God has said in the weak ones, my strength is perfected. It's myself, I may be discouraged and weak, but I need the Lord and His strength that strengthens me again. Give me a word that I can apply now to be strengthened again. If you realize, you can't advance in this point or you fail, then you should not give up, but you wait on the Lord. It says, also on the way of judgments, we have waited for you, in Isaiah 26. So through this waiting on the Lord, we can apply the positive side of the offerings. We can apply the burnt offering, for example, waiting on Him. Lord, now I want to make use of this situation. What is your will? How can I continue? Amen. Maybe in the beginning it might seem painful, but then afterwards it yields a fruit. If something is destroyed in you, but you enter into God and can grasp and experience Him, then there will grow a peaceable fruit of righteousness. That's what we saw yesterday at the Lord's table. All these fruits that the saints brought is a result of His judgment. This will bring forth the fruit that the Father wants. If there's sin in you and something, the Lord can deal with something in us through the sin offering, and we lay it aside, this will produce a fruit. Maybe we can read again Isaiah 35 again. Isaiah 35, verse 8 to 9. And a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for them. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Amen. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go upon it. If you're focused to pursue holiness, then you're walking on this way of the King. You're walking on the way that leads you to the goal. This is not the way of Egypt, where you ask God and beg God to be with you. No, you can be sure God is not on the way with you that goes to Egypt. But this way of holiness that brings you to God, He would not bring you to lions that harm you. If you go to Egypt, it can easily happen that the world would damage you in such a way, would harm you in such a way, that it remains. It's a really harm. It's a damage in you that would remain. A true damage. It's not that whatever you do, it will serve you to the best. No, the Bible doesn't say that. We mustn't believe that if you've seen something from God and whatever you do now, it will have no consequence. It's without harm. No, there will be lions, there will be ravenous beasts when you leave the Lord's way. Even remaining damage, meaning that you would not enter God's kingdom if we leave that way. And we need such a consciousness if we say we want to walk on the holy way. It's not every way is the holy way and I always turn back to God. No. Holiness is not something where you joke about. Oh, now I'm here, I have fallen for a while, I have left the way for a while, now I come back. No, if God is holy, you also need to fear Him. It's not an option to leave that way. We need this fear. So if you're walking on the way of holiness, then maybe you will face trouble, because we need them. We have seen that we need the discipline, the chastening. But all this chastening on this way of holiness are not there to harm you. All these chastenings are there to give you to be partakers of His holiness, that you have more part in His holiness. And the good thing is that even the fools shall not go astray. This is very good for us. It doesn't depend on your intelligence, how much you understood, that you must be very smart to understand. No. Matthew 5 says we have to be poor in spirit, not esteeming ourselves very high, thinking we know. No, we need a simplicity before God speaking. We really need to preserve that. No matter how much we have seen, we need to say, Lord, I'm not rich or will. But we really have to rely on Him and trust in Him that He is the one that would show us the way. On this whole way of holiness, there's no way that where you could say, oh, this way I know and here I know what to do. No. It's a constant walking with the Lord. Yesterday we had a verse that says the Lord is behind you and telling you if you want to deviate from the way to the right or the left, He will tell you this is the way, go. And I need to have this before my eyes constantly, that I'm not capable to go this way from myself, but the Lord is the one who went this way before us, who is going behind us, and who is leading us every step. And this way leads to a goal, which is very glorious. We'll have fellowship on that now, later on. So for finishing this section, let's read together Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Amen. Looking unto Jesus. He's the one who can make us holy. Like First Peter says, First Peter 1 verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit. Amen. Lord, sanctify us completely. We need to stay in this way of holiness.
Second Peter 3:11. It says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? It's easy to turn to the left or to the right, but to not do this, we really need the fear of God. Because if you want to go up on a mountain and you are not careful, it can very quickly happen that you go astray. And you really have to carry the consequences yourself. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. Or rather 16 and 17. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Amen. Be holy, for I am holy. Yeah, and every one's work will be judged. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. We really need fear. We have a very great responsibility that we are carrying. And the way is truly narrow. And at the beginning, we saw that there's only a remnant that will remain. So we also have to see there has to be a significant difference between those who belong to the remnant and to those who don't belong to the remnant. There has to be a difference. Sometimes I have to think, where is this difference between me and maybe someone who doesn't belong to the remnant? If, that is, I belong to the remnant. Amen. So we really need to have fear of the consequences. second point that we heard is about wine, the wine of this world and the wine of religion. What happens if you're drunk and you want to walk on a straight path? You will surely easily go to the left and to the right. So we really have to be careful with what we consume today, what we drink. One gulp of this world, it'll go to the first sip, to the second sip, and then you will be gone astray, you will go astray from the way and you won't even know it. We also need to have fear of pride and of religion. In religion, especially, pride comes up so quickly within us. And then we think, okay, this is the right way, and I'm going to go this way, and I don't even realize that I have gone astray from the holy way. So wine really brings us away from this holy way. So what we have also heard is that the time is really near. The Lord will come back soon. Do we also have healthy fear that he is coming back quickly? I really hope so. That something would change within us. That we wouldn't just keep going our own way. But we would tell the Father and ask him, which way do I need to go to really reach Mount Zion? Just one short announcement. We will have lunch right after the meeting. That's an announcement for the children's meeting. There will be a road. There will be one way. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Praise the Lord. This is what comes at the end of all the woes. That the Lord shows us this section concerning the woes, about how the God's people will be dealt with, leads to the people being on this highway of holiness. This is always the goal of the Lord. To bring us onto this way that will lead to the goal. You can do many things today as a Christian, and still, the word says, first and foremost, we have to pursue holiness. So the question is, what is our goal today? What do we want to gain? What do we want to reach? And the word shows us, we need to go this holy way and gain the holiness of the Lord and pursue this, strive for this, to experience the sanctification. No, this way is for the pure, the holy. Those who walk on this way will not go astray. This is really a promise. It's such a wonderful focus that the Lord has given us. It's not another characteristic. We need to really treasure in the first place his holiness. What do we treasure the most? His love, his righteousness? But how much do we treasure and appreciate his holiness, or even know his holiness? This characterizes those, or marks those, who really make go on this way of holiness, is that they are really impressed by this characteristic of holiness. This is their characteristic. What do we see among us? Lord Jesus, we really need to see a people that is totally different from this world. The holy city at the end, Zion, is in complete opposition to the world and religion. The world is, of course, unclean, but we also see that religion is also unclean. And that's why the Lord says the Christian religion today is in a fallen situation and is a harlot. So unclean. So it is really the opposite of the holy city that the Lord desires. So today it's not about being great or to have as many people as possible in the church. But we want to reach what the Lord wants to have, namely the holy city. And this is the way, or this is to the point to which this way leads. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Where are they returning from? From Babylon. This is where the ransomed of the Lord come back from. And in Babylon, we see in Revelation 17, there is no holiness. It is the great harlot, the mother of harlots, and is full of the abominations of the earth. There's unrighteousness and unholiness. If this is in the church, how do we deal with this? Do we just close our eyes? Or do we pray that the Lord would make the church holy, that he would purify it from all leaven? The Word warns us that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So a little leaven, or a little compromise with the world, with religion, if we do this, at the end, the whole lump will be leavened and will be fallen. So religion is not harmless. The Word says religion is a harlot. We do not care enough about the holiness of the Lord among us believers. We think it's not that important. We say it's about capability, about knowledge, but where do we see that it's about holiness? In Zion, the focus is holiness. Today, we don't want to just know a lot, but today, it's about going or learning to live on the highway of holiness. This is what we want to learn. We don't just want more knowledge about Isaiah. If this is the only thing we have reached at this conference, we have missed our goal. After this time, we want to really be those who walk on the highway of holiness and who have come to touch his holiness, that we have developed an ability to discern between holiness and that which is not holy, between the unclean and the clean. This is what characterizes a priest. A priest can discern. A lot of times people want to argue, there's no verse that says this or that says that. That's not the characteristic or the criteria. The question is, can you discern? Is it holy or not? And if we are really priests and have learned something or seen something of our God, then we really receive the ability to discern between the world and Zion, between religion and the church. This is not something that letters can show us, but it comes only through the dealing, the touching of the living God. So I hope this conference has not given us a big head, but has given us sensitivity for holiness, discernment in our daily life, that if there's something there, that we see, I can't do it. Like Paul says, everything is permitted, but not everything is profitable. It is not holy. The holy way. This is something that has to increase in our life. There has to be more of a difference between the common and the godly. Holiness is not just cleanness or purity. There's not just clean, the unclean and the clean. But there's difference between the holy and the common. common things. They're not even unclean. But still, they are not holy. And we need such a developed discernment within us. And He wants to do this through His Word. The Word of God should not give us knowledge and make us puffed up, but it should affect holiness in us and discernment with us, within us, to know what is of God and what is not of God. I pray that the word of Isaiah has really worked within us, that when we go in our daily life, we have discernment and a difference in how we deal with the world and with religion, so that we notice the difference. Some people are in a group, and they say, it's glorious. And then another one comes in the group and says, it's horrible. So what is it? Glorious or terrible? Depends upon how much you know the highway of holiness, how much you know the holiness of God in your own experience. Then you will be able to clearly discern whether you have landed in Babylon by the harlot, or are you in the holy city, Zion. In Revelation, the difference is very easy to see, harlot and bride. If you're the one who is marrying someone, you will know the difference between a harlot and your bride. But do we know the difference? He who goes the way of holiness will recognize the difference between Babylon and Zion 100% without any doubt. But if we don't take this way seriously, then at the end you will not know what is Babylon, what is Zion. Someone will say, that's holy, glorious. But that doesn't mean anything. The question is it holy? Is it according to God's nature and being? And how can you discern? You have to know Him. You have to go this way that leads to Zion. This is the one side of Zion, here in verse 10. To come to the city with joy. So, try to remember what's on this thing, even though we can't see the slide that well. Here in the middle is the breaking of the peace treaty. What's important for us is that before the breaking of the peace treaty, it is the rapture of the first fruits. Where to? To the heavenly Zion, Mount Zion. This is how we also have to read verse 10 in Isaiah 35. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Amen. Hallelujah. Where do you want to go? If we are not in the spiritual Zion today, I don't think that you will be able to come to the heavenly Zion before the breaking of the peace treaty. Everything belongs together. The holy way, the spiritual Zion, and the heavenly Zion. It is one way. One way. And we have. That's why we have to live on this highway of holiness, learn to walk on it. To summarize it very shortly, all the woes refers to one thing, the holy way. The holy way, where does it lead you? To the spiritual Zion. Today, where the Lord builds His church. And then where? This spiritual Zion has to become a heavenly Mount Zion. What does it look like there in the heavenly Mount Zion? Perhaps indescribable for us. But in Isaiah 33, it says that we will see the King in His beauty. When He was transfigured on the mount, three saw Him in His glory. But if we all take this highway of holiness and overcome, we will be able to see the King in His beauty, in His glory, in His being transfigured. Where will we be able to see this? On the heavenly Mount Zion. The rapture is the only way to bring you to this heavenly Mount Zion. And this is also the way that Isaiah 35 describes. The ransomed of the Lord will return. Today, you already have to return from Babylon to Zion. You cannot stay in Babylon. It will cost you the reward. Do not be so foolish, so short-sighted, so naive that it plays no role where you are today. Oh, I can overcome there. This is not what we read here. Maybe when there was no Zion, okay, maybe, but today there is a Zion. Today it says that the ransom of the Lord shall return. Come out of here, my people, and come to Zion with singing. Today there's two meanings to this Zion, with everlasting joy on their heads. What is also on the heavenly Mount Zion? They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. What will it be like to stand before the throne of the Lamb? Joy and gladness they shall obtain. But where do they go through, or what do they go through? Sorrow and sighing. Sorrow and sighing also belongs to the Holy One. I have one more minute. Revelation 7. Lord Jesus. Verse 13. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation." Today, it's not about the second half of the 7 years, the last 3.5 years. The tribulation that we are talking about here is all the tribulation that comes to us when we are on the heavenly way or the holy way. But what we read in Romans 8 is that the sufferings that we experience today cannot compare to the glory that will be revealed in us when He comes. So let's not shy away from suffering or go away from suffering. If people despise you and say bad things about you, what does this Lord say? Be scared and draw back? No. This is what a lot of people do today, though. They are so scared of persecution from mankind. But the Lord says, no, rejoice, because if you're persecuted, the kingdom belongs to you. This is the entrance into the kingdom. This tribulation, this persecution is the entrance into the kingdom. Revelation 14:1. This is where the holy way leads us. Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads. Amen. Praise the Lord. I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, but not alone, with him 144,000. Amen. Yeah, Lord, we want to overcome.
Amen.
Lord, we want to belong to the first fruits. We want to go the holy way until the goal.
Amen.
Lord, they will return and come to Zion with singing.
Amen.
Lord, bring us all on this way of holiness.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, to go this priestly way.
Amen.
That we can come to Zion with singing. Lord, bring
Amen.
Us to the heavenly Mount Zion. Lord, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
You strengthen our
Amen.
weak hands, feeble knees.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, we are those who walk by faith.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we pray that you'd write the Father's name on our forehead.
Amen.
We belong to you, Father.
Amen.
Lead us on this highway of holiness.
Amen.
Lord, and we pray that many will return to Zion.
Amen.
Lord, bring the ransom of your people back home. Bring them back to Zion. The ransom of the Lord shall return. Oh, Lord, shake Babylon in this time.
Amen.
Oh, lead them to the holy city.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That they would return. Oh, Lord, they belong to Mount Zion.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We can recognize that you are a holy God. Thank you. You're the one who also helps us become holy. Thank you. You're the one that transforms us into the image of your Son.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You are the one who wants to change us and that we don't have to change ourselves. You are the vine and we are the branches.
Amen.
And he who abides in you will bear much fruit.
Amen.
Amen. 411. The ransom of the Lord shall return.
Amen.